All right, now we got all the homework done. Now I'm going to be speaking to you out of the book of John today, and in John the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 44. Listen, I'm not going to read it all to you. It's still a lot of reading, but for the sake of time and because you like to be home before midnight, I'm going to let you read it on your own. And what I want to do is I'm just going to kind of go through it. I'm going to skip through it. Please read all this word tonight. It's John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44. And you wonder what you have in your hand, and you have a piece of cloth that's in your hand. This is a very familiar story, one of my favorite passages. But I really feel like God wanted this message today for a particular reason. And I don't think that there's no accident that we got 10 of our leaders out today. All right, and some of them's got weddings in Chicago. Some of them is sick in body, and some of them is visiting on birthdays in southern United States. So there's a lot going on. But I absolutely believe that God's got exactly the right people here today. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to challenge you today. And that's what I want to do every week that I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe it's convicting. I believe it's challenging. And I believe that's what we need to come to the Lord with every week, is an open heart to listen to what he has for us. Now today, as I begin to share with you John the 11th chapter, I'd like to begin with this favorite passage of mine. And I really want us to get to understand and know this familiar story about Lazarus. Amen? Everybody's heard the story about Lazarus. Most of us have. And one of the things is you have to have this because today one of my props, he's sick, okay? So I have a mummy all wrapped up for you. Not a dummy, but a mummy, okay? My mummy was wrapped up, but my mummy couldn't come, so that's okay. So then I got a backup, and the mummy got sick, okay? So my mummy and my dummy sick, all right? So I couldn't do it. So I thought, well, I can always go to Lorenzo, amen? Lorenzo will help me. What are you saying all for? I can always go to Lorenzo because he always helps me. So I thought, well, he can be my mummy. And then I got thinking, he can't. He's got to run a sound booth. So nevertheless, I don't have no mummies, okay? So be thinking about that. So today I want you to envision that. We're going to talk about this mummy and how Lazarus become mummified. And when we look at this, I want you to begin to understand what God is going to do with you today. Now, the first thing is we've been talking about this. It's easy for us to begin to get closed-minded. It's easy for us to begin to doubt the Word of God. It's easy for us to have an attitude of stubbornness and think that we don't need it, we ain't going to do it, and that's the way it is. Can you say amen? Well, I'm not saying that was Lazarus, but I'm going to pull some of these threads out of here today. As their brother grew very sick, Mary and Martha, they turned to Jesus for help because they had seen his miracles in the past, and we too have seen God's miracles in the past in our lives, have we not? So it's easy for us when we come to a place of distress, and just like this scripture here, when we get in a place of distress, sometimes we forget what God's already done, all right? So we begin to empty the cross of his power with our naysaying or our doubting or our wondering if he's going to do what he says he's going to do. But we've really experienced it both through scripture and through our own personal lives being changed. In Revelations 12:11, it says it this way: we overcome because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. If it wasn't for Christ, there go we. And we can say amen to that. When we need extraordinary help, Jesus offers us the help that we need. Any difficult situation that a believer faces can ultimately bring glory to God, no matter how difficult the trial may be, because God can bring forth good out of any bad situation. And we have experienced that, right? Amen. See, so when we begin to understand that God is going to allow some things for a season, you can count on one thing: God is going to bring good out of the bad. So you know what? God is going to go ahead and pay double for your trouble. Amen. It doesn't matter where you're at. You can come in at a place where Job was at, and Job was repaid 10 times for his trouble. But you know the thing he wouldn't do is he would not curse God, and he would not die. He decided to stand, to scrape the wounds, to go forth. And no matter what his friends and family and everybody else said to trial, he said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going forward. Amen. So today we can be in those bad situations, but God can bring good out of bad. Amen. Jesus loved this family, and he often stayed with them, Lazarus's family, Martha and Mary, his sisters. When he received the message that Lazarus was very sick, he knew their pain, but he did not respond immediately. Now, insert us. Okay, sometimes we get in a place of pain and suffering, and all of us go there, and we forget to look back at what he's already done. We begin to look back at what he's already set us free from, amen? But we begin to understand, Lord, why didn't you come to me immediately? I immediately called up on you, and then I'm going through a season of whatever it might be, a day, a week, a year, a decade where we turn away from God. We quit listening to God because we decide that if God really loved me and he really was intimate enough to care about me, he wouldn't let this happen to me. Did he forget who I was? Can you say amen? Because see, what happens is that we get a little bit on the arrogant side and we think that when we're born again, there's nothing bad going to happen to us. But let me tell you the truth. That was a lie the enemy told me. Remember, I was the guy for 32 years, which was just a couple weeks ago or longer, but maybe 20 years. But you know, the truth is that when I got saved, the truth was this. I really believed that everything was going to be good. But the truth was, everything that could go wrong, it went wrong. And immediately upon salvation, the things that began to happen is I got plugged in. You ever do that? You get excited. I want to help. I want to work. I want to be part of. And I did that. Then some youth pastors, they come against me, and I was just trying to help. And so the next thing, I went ahead and took my righteous coat. I thought you could take it on and off, right? When they made me mad at a power team, we was at a power team meeting in Bell Fountain. I got away from everybody else, took my coat off, and I began to cuss them out. I said, oh, beat the dog out. Who you think you messing with? All right, and then all of a sudden, that's where God began to say, what in the world's wrong with you? I said, but God. He said, but you. And see, all of a sudden, I began to understand God was going to work on something that I didn't even understand. So I began to say, God, you got to take his filthy language from me. You got to take his madness from me, this anger. And over time, he took all that from me. He took every bit of that. And I began to understand that I'm but a work in progress. Amen. So when we begin to understand that we have a war that stands before us, we don't fight flesh and blood. Ephesians is clear on that. Amen. We fight stuff that we can't see. Amen. But Jesus loved this family, and when he would go there, he would stay with them. He knew their pain, and he didn't respond immediately. It says his delay of 4 days really enforced that he had consistently taught. Okay, his marching orders came exclusively from his Father. Amen. Everybody say, all right, now I'm catching on. Because what happens to me sometimes, people say, well, look, I asked you, I told you, I begged you, and I said, well, I'm going to move it, I'm going to do it when the Lord tells me to. And they begin to say, yeah, but I said, I said, well, that's on you, all right? Because I can't answer all the calls, I can't do everything, I'm a human like you, and so are you. And when people begin to demand of you, you got to understand that your marching orders comes from the Lord himself, amen? Everybody say, thank you, Lord. Because what will happen is, I had a talk with a ministry leader not too long ago, and he says, I'm battling this. I said, well, let me tell you what you're battling for. You tell me. You're going to battle with your family. All right. My wife's going to get in the way of what God called me to do. Everybody said, oh, that don't happen, does it? Okay, well, I could tell you stories, but today's our anniversary, so I'll spare her. All right, but you know, the truth was is that when we got married, she knew my heart, but the truth was this, is that all of a sudden, she began to see me rocking and rolling with the Lord. I'm in the streets, I'm evangelizing, I'm in the prisons, I'm in the jails, I'm going, and all of a sudden, she says, look, I ain't got time for all this, I got to work. I said, yeah, but I work too, and I'm still going to do it, all right? And it came to the point where I love you, and I care about you, but I'm going to do what I was called to do. Everybody say, what I'm called to do. You can't let nobody, including our spouses or our children or anybody else, hinder what God has ordained you to do. And some of that's popular. Some of you are saying, man, you're going to make us fight when we get home. There he goes with that junk again, but I want to prove it with the word. But the truth was this. It took time. She wasn't mad at me, and she knew I had to do what I had to do, and I kept going. And guess what? Guess who came beside me? My spouse. And so all of a sudden, you know what happened was, and we talk about this, she got dropped on her head down a flight of steps as a sheriff deputy, and she's unemployed now, amen? She has a brain injury, and she says, well, that's my thorn in my flesh. She said, but I will walk by faith, amen? So what we've seen God do is even through tragedy, through crazy things, he began to line us up where he wants us, amen? And so we begin to serve God. So a lot of times, the people that's the closest to us, when he begins to give us marching orders, when he begins to allow us to go forward, things begin to happen. And this is where we're at. Neither the needs of his closest friends or the fury of his enemies determined his actions. Jesus said, whatever God has ordained, whatever God's called, I am here and God will use me. His delay, it had a specific purpose. Everybody say specific. Now listen, the biggest tragedy that I see today is when we drive by a graveyard, and you can only imagine the people in there that God called, God anointed, God positioned, and for whatever reason, it can be their spouse, it could be their kids, it could be the job, it could be finances, it delayed what God called them to do. Can you say amen? Amen. Now I'm going to ask you a question right here, and you can, or you may or you may not raise your hand. Is everybody doing what God called them and ordained them to do? Raise your hand if you are. Not very many of us, right? Very few of us are, because the truth is this: I'm not where I want to be at, and neither are you. We want to get there, though, and that's what I want to do with this lesson today. I want us to come to a place where we begin to understand, all right, God, you chose me, you predestined me, you picked me out to be picked on, Lord, and here I am, use me. Everybody say, I'm here. His delay has specific purpose. God's timing, and especially his delays, can make us think he's not answering us, but we need to be assured he will meet every need that we have according to his perfect schedule, his perfect time, and on his purpose. We need to be able to come to a place to be able to patiently await his timing and not our timing. Amen? That's tough, isn't it? All right, we like to help him along when he needs it. If Jesus had been with Lazarus during his final moments of sickness, he might have healed him rather than left him to the place where he would die. He might have healed him, but the truth was Lazarus died so that Jesus' power over death could be shown to his disciples and to you and to me. Amen? So he allowed him to die. And so all of a sudden, you begin to read this story so often, people would question this very thing. So why in the world, if God, remember, let's go back to us now. If God is so good and he's so powerful, see, he's so omnipresent, why? Did you ever hear that when you're talking to someone? And we've said that at times ourselves too, I'm sure. But that's when we're weak in faith, when we're young in faith. Or it's even again and again when we need to be strengthened by our faith, amen? But all of a sudden, we begin to understand what was going on here. It had to happen for God's purpose to be fulfilled. The things that you go through, what the enemy intended for bad, God will get glory out of it. He will get glory out of it. We don't have to like it, but we have to embrace it, and we got to see ourselves through it with the help of our Savior. Jesus has power over life and death because he is the creator of life. Read it again. It's on the board, right? Read it to me. What's it say? See, when we begin to wrap our minds around this, and we begin to understand that Jesus has power, he's all power. He gives life and he gives death. He is the creator of the life and he's in charge. The last enemy to be defeated is death. He who is life can surely restore our lives, no matter how big or hurtful the trial may be. In verses 33 through 38 of the 11th chapter, we may see many of Jesus' motions coming out here. And see, listen, we talk about feelings and things. Listen, feelings are real, amen? And so when I go into counseling, a lot of times what begins to happen is we let the feelings begin to run our lives. We begin to respond by feelings. Oh, I felt like this, so I told him anyway, amen? You know what? They didn't give me the service I was supposed to, so I feel like ripping them, and I did, amen? In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. You know what I'm talking about, because all of a sudden what we do is we take that coat on and off, put it on, take it off when we want to, and we go ahead and give them what they want. I was sharing a story. Can I be real with you? We was driving down the road the other day, and some guy cussed me off. It almost run into a sign. I didn't think nothing about it. Everybody was getting over, and I came up. I go to get over. She said, that guy ain't going to let you over. I said, well, surely he will. And we weren't going very fast, but he did. He almost ran me in the sign, so I stopped. The next guy let me in. And then as soon as he let me in, he brake checked me. And so I almost hit him in the back end. I swerved left and almost hit a car head on. And then I became mad. You believe that? So I said, oh, Lord, I need you. And I did not say that. I said, pull that car over now. And my wife said, honey, what's wrong with you? I said, I'm going to knock his brains out, man. Don't he know I got Trey with me? Don't he know that my wife's with me? What in the world's wrong with him? And then all of a sudden, I was like, oh, my God, what am I thinking here? See, that fast, the enemy can jump right up on you and in your business. You believe it, don't you? So it only happens to me, right? Shame on y'all, amen? So the truth is that, I mean, immediately I got control of it, but I'm going to tell you, all that stuff came sweeping through in a matter of seconds. And I look at my wife, she's looking at me like, who's that guy? And it rapture, all right, because she thought something happened to me. But the truth was, I was still there acting out of character. All of a sudden, I allowed the enemy to sneak in. Has that ever happened to you? Okay, if you said no, it's going to happen to you when you leave today. Watch out. All right, because the truth is, as we begin to understand emotions, compassion, indignation, sorrow, and even frustration was there when Jesus is reading this very scripture. We look at it, we begin to look at the scripture, and all of a sudden we begin to understand he feels like you and I. Amen. All of a sudden, when we act like that, we become out of character. Well, we got an example that he had the same emotions, but just like those feelings, they're real, but they cannot be authoritative in our lives any longer. Amen. In John, the 11th chapter, verse 38, it says, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. It says it this way. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave. It was a stone laid across the entrance. He often expressed deep emotion, and we must never be afraid to reveal our true feelings. Everybody say true feelings. He understands them, and he experienced them. He cares how you feel. And so even though I felt that way, later on I said, God, I am so sorry. He said, man, you're so funny. You're so funny. And he began to reveal to me, I can read it now. Pastor pulls a guy out of his truck, puts knots on his head, and then prays for him. It don't work that way, man. And our spirit might tell us that is exactly how it works. That's a lie from the enemy. It doesn't work that way. Now listen to this next point. When Jesus saw them weeping and wailing, it said he went openly. He cares enough to weep with us. He cares when you're in pain. He cares when you're in the trial. He cares when you have lack of. He cares when your marriage is in trouble. He cares when someone's falsely accusing you. He cares when you're struggling. He cares when you're sick. He cares when you're oppressed, depressed, and recessed. And like last week, compressed. He cares. Okay? He's deeply moved when his children hurt. Amen? And we begin to look at this. Both Mary and Martha said to Jesus in verse 21, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. And then verse 22, but even now I know that whatever you ask God, even now, and it says in the King James Version, that Lazarus had been dead 4 days and he was in the tomb, the rock was sealed, and it said he stank. It said he stank. That's a level past stink if you don't know what that means. That's hillbilly. Man, that dude stank, man. So you begin to understand that what happens is God will answer you even when you're in the middle of your stench, amen? God's watching, all-knowing, all-present, and he begins to understand here. It says, what they said here is it says, and Martha says, but even now I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you. Jesus, I know that you're in charge, amen? And I know that whatever you ask, Jesus said in verse 23, your brother shall rise again. And can you imagine what the flesh is saying? I believe, but that nasty, decaying stink that's inside that tomb is going to raise again. See, when we're lost in our stench and separated from the presence of a living God because of our sin, so often what happens is we begin to wonder, it begins to stink, and we don't get closer and closer, we get further and further. And in verse 25, he begins to command and say, I am the resurrection. Can you see him doing it? Can you see that boldness standing there? I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live forever. Amen. So no matter what, we win. No matter where you're at today, no matter what you're going through, but see, remember, we got to look back at what he's already done for you and I, which is a lot. Then in John chapter 11, verse 39 and 40, let's continue. Take away the stone, he said. Now, there's something that's really significant here that we blow past. Now, he has the power to raise a dead man up from inside that tomb. But he looks at Martha and says, hey, you do something. You remove the stone. Have you ever caught that before? Because I never did. I didn't pay attention. Let me keep going. It says, take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor. Remember, he stank, amen? There's a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, there's an if in here, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. And so all of a sudden, Martha says, I believe that whatever you ask is going to happen. But if you're going to ask me to do something in faith, I can't move the stone, and if I do, it's going to stink, and I don't really know, and I don't really understand. But when God begins to tell you to do it, what you got to do is begin to step over the line and step out in faith. You remember that Peter's the only one that got up out of the boat and began to walk on water, but you got to remember who he commanded, amen, all of them. But what he did is he had one that was faithful and said, get out and walk, and as he began to walk, he began to sink. But when he began to sink, who else but Jesus Christ rushed down and picked him up. See, what God wants us to do is begin to step out. He wants us to begin to go forward. He wants us to begin to walk on water. Do we have any water walkers in the house of the Lord today? Yes, Lord, here am I. Choose me. Notice that Jesus didn't roll the stone away from the door himself. He asked Martha to do this for him. To me, this is speaking of something that I think we need to talk about today. Just one key point. This is talking about body ministry. Amen? We are the body. We are the body. The problem is today is that a lot of times people that's outside of our church will come in here. They say, man, you got an incredible church. And that's what he's talking about. They say, well, you pastor an incredible church. He said, we watch on Celebrate Recovery. They come from another church, and they come in here, and they're blown away that everybody that chips in. And I said, well, that's the way everything is. I mean, we got teams, and we got people that works, and they just do a great job. And they said, and I told them this. I said, they get mad if I do something. And I said, as the pastor, they don't want me to do it, and sometimes I get to sneak in and do it anyway. But the truth is this. When you begin to look at this, it's talking about a body ministry. Do you believe in a body ministry? Look, it takes the whole body, amen? Like today, we can have 40, 50, 60 kids next door, and there's not one person over there, or two, or three, or four. There's a bunch of people that has to come around, prepare food, has to get them ready, has to get them here. There's a lot that goes into that, and it's something that has to be planned. But when we begin to speak about the body ministry, we are the body, amen? Getting around the tombs. I want to talk about the tombs now. If we're going to be a body ministry, what we begin to do at this time, when he says, Martha, remove the stone, all of a sudden, it's a body ministry. It begins to tell us, go to the tomb, amen. Go to my people that I've sent you to. Begin to speak to them. I know they're broken. I know they're hurt. I know they're lost. But I've called you. I've equipped you. I've delivered you. I've brought you back. I've placed your feet. I've ordained you to go to my people. Go to there and get involved at the tombs in their lives, rolling away some barriers that's before them. Roll the stones and the barriers that's keeping them from coming to the church. Perhaps as you're getting closer into ministry, the stench of death will begin to overtake you. Some repugnant practices may be involved, and it gets in your nostrils. I just want to say this: ministry stinks. Amen. So, as some of the best ministry leaders we have, I begin to tell them, "Oh, I said, you sure you want to be a ministry leader?" And they say, "Yeah, why?" I said, "Ministry is unappreciated. It's overrated. It always asks for more. It's always unthankful." And I said, a ministry will leave you breached, broke, busted, and disgusted until you turn all that and know it's for the Lord. And all of a sudden, they're like, wow. A few months into it, especially our youth leaders, hey, you was telling us the truth, wasn't you? I said, yeah. I said, you're ready to flee, ain't you? And they said, yeah. And I said, well, you can or you can press in. It's like that in any ministry, though, isn't it? God's called us, and listen, he wouldn't call you if he didn't think you could handle it, amen? It's time to really start practicing our love walk. Everybody say, I need a love walk. I want to talk to you about this love walk, because the problem today that I see in the church is that we don't have any love. And if we're going to have love, what we want to do is embrace everything that's false doctrine. That's not the church's position. We're to hold fast to the Word of God, amen? Not man's opinions or anybody else's opinion. If it was a sin, then it's a sin today, and it'll be a sin tomorrow, amen? Some people don't like that, all right? Some people don't like that. But let me tell you, when the power of a living God is inside of a church, you'll know the difference. Can you say amen? It's time for us to really start practicing our love and our love walk. God commands us, it's not an option or a suggestion, but a commandment to love one another as he has already loved us. The first and greatest commandment in Mark chapter 22 is what? It says, let me read it to you. I got it here somewhere. It says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all the mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. The second is just like it, amen. We are commanded to love. We got to get this in us. That means that we are to love the unlovely as well. Amen? Now, sometimes that's kind of difficult, isn't it? So in my ministry, one of the first things that I had to really embrace and learn is God sent me to some places. Whew, man. Well, oh, man. Amen. I'm not there today, but neither are they, because they got saved. But I'm going to tell you one of the places some of you might remember years ago at this railroad track down here, and the homeless bins, whatever they're called, semi-trailers that sit over there. Well, that was my first ministry, my first call. And I said, God, all them people in that church is lazy. All right? And God said, well, they might be. I didn't call them. I called you. I said, well, I know, but who are you sending? And then all of a sudden, it was me, and I began to walk those tracks on Friday night by myself, amen? And this is where I was sharpened. I would go down there. I'd take Bibles, and I'd take tracks, and I'd take food. Man, they're going to love this. And then they'd try to rob me. They'd hold me up, try to beat me up, and all this stuff. And so then I said, all right, that's it, man. You think I'm a sissy? I show you. I don't, and I'd get mad. And I want to fight. That's what the flesh would say. But then all of a sudden, I began to see God work through all that. God was teaching me. He was training me. He was equipping me. And he said, I didn't call you, and I'm not going to leave you abandoned. I'm going to call you with purpose. Everybody say purpose. This means that I had to learn to love the unlovable, amen? And they could see that I didn't have the love of Christ in me, so God positioned them to help me. I wasn't helping them. They was helping me. Needless to say, those trailers are gone. We don't have those unsaved people down on those tracks no more. And I watched God use me in a mighty way that shaped me for the rest of my life. And I want to tell you this one thing. It's not in my sermon notes, but I'm going to share with you one of the things that God used me for. I was a drunk. Remember, I used to be a drunk. God used me with a drunk laying on the tracks as I'd ministered all night, and it was hot. And I was walking off, and I was training somebody from her band. How am I going to train them? I don't even know what I'm doing. But I was training them on how to do what I didn't know how to do. Okay, and so when they say, this is what you mean, I said, that's exactly what I mean. Yeah, that's what I mean. And they come up with some good stuff. I said, man, I got to write that down. But I'm just going to go, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to fail, and I'm going to get up, and I'm going to get down, and I'm going to do whatever God told me to do, and I'm going, and all of a sudden, I run into this drunk by the track, and I'm wore out, and I've been cussed out, and I've been beat down, and I'm walking away, and I just want to go home, and then all of a sudden, we're walking down that track right down at the end of Plum Street, crossed over Plum Street, I was parked at the pizza place, and I'm walking down through, and all of a sudden, there's a guy laying face down in the gravel. And I walked by him. I had one Gideon Bible left, and God said, give it to him. I said, God, I'm tired. He said, give it to him. I walked by him. You ever done that? Amen. Just me, right? I walked by him. The Lord was speaking to me. I went back. I said, oh, all right, God. I go back, and I kicked the guy in the foot, kicked him. I kicked him really hard in the foot the second time. I was letting him know, God said, and I'm not going to play with your mess. Get up. Just like Lazarus, get up, right? Well, the guy rolled over, and when he rolled over, he had vomit everywhere. And as he sat down there, I said, I have no idea why God put in my spirit to get you up and give you this Bible, but Jesus loves you. And I began to talk to him. He never got up. I began to speak to him, and I watched him accept Christ. It was so real when I was praying the sinner's prayer with him that he jumped up, and with all that vomit, jumped on me and gave me a big hug. Yeah, which made me throw up, amen. So then I began to understand, God, you got a sense of humor. He began to tell me right then. He said, ministry is dirty, it stinks, and it's nasty. But I don't call everybody, but I called you. Will you be obedient to what I called you to do? This takes me to the next point. Time to take your eyes off the situation. I began to look at the situation, my tiredness, my arrogance, my self-centeredness. I began to know that God was trying to change me. Take your time to get your eyes off the situation and keep them clearly focused on Jesus. That's the first time that the Lord spoke to me and told me, it's not all about you. You've lived a life for 32 years that says it's all about you. When are you going to surrender? When are you going to do what you're supposed to do? When we become born again, the Bible has something to say about it. It's not about self. It's not about even others. It's not even about situations. It's about our Savior, Jesus Christ. We have commandments that says to love. We have commandments that say go. We have commandments that says that we're supposed to do things, and they're not requests, they're commandments. When we become born again, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Man, that should go through us. Because all of a sudden, we begin to care about those in our eyes who seem the least of, because they could be the greatest of in the kingdom. And if God made no mistakes in making humankind, if God loves us so much and he's no respecter of person, our job is to carry a gospel message to the very wealthy that don't know him, to the very poorest that don't know him. We have a job. Can you say amen? Amen. Even though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ. Amen. If you are in Christ, the new creation has come and the old has gone. The new is here. Verse 18, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us a ministry of what? Reconciliation. Hallelujah. And thank you, Jesus. Next point, the things of your old past keep you bound and affect the way you see yourself. Amen. So all of a sudden, we begin to understand that God begins to get our focus off of us, but we want to constantly look back at how we used to be, the old hindrances, the old trip-up hazards, and all those things, and it affects the way we see ourselves. It affects our ministry, too. Can you say amen? See, the truth is, we've got to quit looking back at that. Too many of us are really, truly, here's where it comes in. It's starting to come in. Everybody wave your cloth, amen. See, my dummy up here, or my mummy, I keep calling it a dummy. I don't know why I keep saying dummy. And we got a mummy. See, start thinking about that. We begin to become spiritual mummies. We have an attitude, we have a true conversion experience, but we live a life encumbered by the same things that entombed us in the first place. So all of a sudden, we begin to understand, have you ever been set free? Have you ever been saved? Only to go back to the same old stinking thinking, the same old ways. Man, I did. I did. I was saved, and all of a sudden I began to think, I started having trials, and I thought, man, that's how I used to think. What in the world is wrong with me? But the truth is, sometimes we need to have a spiritual check. We need to discover how to remove, everybody get it, how to remove the grave clothes that keep us in a life of repression and keep us from reaching God's given full potential. Then Jesus, with a loud voice, as he began to release some things, listen to this now. Then Jesus, with a loud voice, everybody say loud voice.
Loud voice.
Now, I'm not going to try to scare you or nothing. Yes, I am. Then Jesus said with a loud voice, releasing his power and might, okay? It says he released his power and his might, and he cried, Lazarus, come forth! Now, at that point, I want you to get something. Hopefully, I scared you. I want you to get something here. All of a sudden, it says that he releases something, his power. It's his might. He's releasing that to you. It's a gift freely given to you. Listen, you walk with a part of Jesus Christ. Listen, you walk with a part of the triune God inside of you, amen? So all of a sudden, we begin to understand this. Now, this is my point today. I want you to hear this loud and clear. Almost every one of you, I know, and you're born again. Here's the truth. If he would have walked up to that tomb, and you know that, if Jesus would have walked up to that tomb with Mary and Martha and everybody else, and he said, everybody come forth, and remember the tomb inside of this stack, there's a lot of people in there, that tomb would have, that rock would have rolled away, and they'd all come running out, right? But he didn't say that. He says, Lazarus, come forth. Does that feel good? Ralph, come forth. Steve, come forth. John, come forth. He began to call you and us by name. He said, it says in John chapter 6, I think it's verse 34, that no man or woman come to God unless they're drawn by God. Amen. He begins the drawing. He begins it. You begin to wonder, why me? Why am I saved? Why have I been through it? He said, I called you. I begin to tell you, Will, come forth. Shannon, come forth. All of a sudden, what happens is right in the middle of our muck and mire, right in the middle of where we was dead, checked out, clocked out, wiped out, we was hijacked, breached, broke, busted, and disgusted. We didn't deserve anything but death. Right in the middle of that stench, that stank, he walked right up in the middle of it, and he began to speak your name. He began to call you. He began to draw you. He began to woo you, and he called you for a time such as this. Amen. Then when Jesus called Lazarus to come forth from the grave, he shuffled out, bound up head to toe in this old grave clothes. Now listen, the first thing, here comes my mommy. See, here it comes. And then about right there is where Lorenzo would fall down the steps because you're bound up, amen. It was a major hindrance, amen. To be bound up and mummified is a major hindrance. They just didn't drop off. These grave clothes just don't drop off at the very moment you receive Christ, amen. You got to go through some stuff. Jesus didn't begin to unwrap him. No, he didn't do it. It says Jesus told his friends to unwrap him, loose him, and let him go in the name of Jesus. So no matter what you're bound up by today, when you begin to use that same message from Jesus, you begin to see someone. Listen, it's not very funny when I walk down the street and people are making fun of someone who is mentally ill, amen? I think it's actually absolutely tragedy because I see the demonic torment so often, same way with people who are addicted. Look at that old drunk or that old this or that old that. Listen, there's something wrong with that, amen? They begin to look at women who have made bad or poor choices in their prostitution. They think it's funny. I want to grab your hands, and I want to begin to tell them Jesus Christ saved you, amen. He died for you, he made no mistakes, he loves you, and you begin to reassign value in the name of Jesus, amen. Now see, all of a sudden, what we've got to do and what we've got to understand is this. Just like when I witnessed to the Jehovah Witnesses a few weeks ago, they said, man, what do you got that I don't? I said, I got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit inside of me. I got something bubbling up in me that I can't stand. And I start stomping my foot. And I said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. What I bound on earth, he said, he'll bind in heaven, amen. And I'm telling you today that God is going to speak to you. And those three young men is going, is looking at me, and I begin to tell them about Jesus, and one of them begin to weep. I begin to say, you can live a lie all you want, son, but God loves you. And just so y'all know, when they brought their crusade here, and they got out of Kuss Auditorium about 12 years ago, Giza was there. All of a sudden, three of the main leaders, we was able to lead them to the Lord today, amen. And they not only come to the Lord, they're still active in the Christian church today, but we've got to stand up against the schemes of the enemy. Yes, amen. So whatever is bound up with them grave clothes in your life, you begin to loose it in the name of Jesus. Because it says he has endued you with power from on high. That's where we come in again with the body ministry. He's looking for our involvement. It's not about all about him doing it all for you. He wants our involvement. We need to release Lazarus free from all that has him bound up. I wish to portray Lazarus not only as an individual, but as a church as well. We've got to come together as a church body and begin to come against the schemes of the enemy. I believe this is the hour when Jesus is calling us forth. This is called what I call a Lazarus generation. Amen. We're coming forth, and our job is to speak to the drug addicts, to the alcoholics, to the prostitutes, and we begin to tell them, listen, it might look good on the outside, but the truth is I came from there, amen, and God ordained me and set me free, and if he did it for me, he's no respecter of person, and he'll do it for you, amen. God loves you. I believe this is the hour of the Lazarus generation. Our Lazarus is a body ministry here at my church with each of us having a very important role to fulfill. And our job is to quit running from and begin to run to. We look to see where to begin to unravel those grave clothes when we begin to see those hurt and hindered people. But listen, a good place to start is in prayer. Amen. I just challenge you to a 21-day fast where we'll pray and we'll intercede for those who ain't interceding for themselves. It's a great place to start is to begin just to pray. As we unwrap the mind, quote scripture, bring all those thoughts into captivity. As Jesus says, the old thought patterns must be removed in the name of Jesus. Amen. But listen to this. It says, as we conquer the ears, we need to speak the word of God. The word of God is what sets people free, breaking negative influence. And we got to come to the place where we begin to allow them to remove stuff and stuff from their lives. As we uncover the ears, we need to speak the word, breaking the negative influences. The deaf shall hear. Amen. Oh, we don't want to talk about that. Now, wait a minute. You're talking about spiritual gifts now, Pastor. Don't scare me like that. It happened to me. Amen. It happened to us, didn't it? We was all the way overseas, 700 miles south of the United States, where we still own a professional soccer stadium in Tecomatu, Wasabi, Sinaloa, which is a part of Mexico where the drug lords are. And God blessed us to be in the port owning land. Amen. Ain't God good? And they called me out to kill me. And I wasn't smart enough to know that. But I was led by the Spirit. And what began to happen today there is still happening today. You know the big drug cartel that is arrested? That's where they arrested him, within feet of our land. And so all of a sudden we begin to understand what God had called us to do at that time. Go someplace where nobody else would go. The U.S. government says you ain't allowed to go in there. And even when we mention it at Los Mariachis and places we go, it's got Hispanic people. They say, you go where? And I said, well, and I said, we go to Wasabi, Sinaloa. And I began to tell them like that. They said, are you crazy? That place is nuts, man. And I said, man, guess what? We had the opportunity to lead thousands of people to the Lord. And while we was there, we seen blind eyes open. We seen deaf ears open. We seen the dead raised. And I said, everybody says you're crazy. And I said, I thought I was crazy too, amen. I said, but I watched it with my very own eyes. I remember walking into a place, oh, ye of little faith, amen. I walked in on a rope bed on the middle of the day when it was 100 and some degrees. And I began to listen to this whole family. And I began to intercede. I began to wail and call out, God, why have you sent me here? And God, what do you want out of me? And all of a sudden, God began to speak to me, and he said, I want you to go in there and pray for that dead man. So I invited the whole family into that room. We go in there, probably 13, 14 people. We walk in there, and all of them's in there. Then my interpreter's in there. I said, I have no idea what God's doing. I said, but be careful what you say. He said, I'm only going to repeat what you say, amen. And I was like, man, Lord, use me and lead me. So he walks in, then I walk in behind them. They're weeping and they're crying. And I remember walking in there, and I didn't know what I was doing. I ain't going to lie to you, amen. But I began to look at that old fly-covered body, and I began to look at it, and I began to say, God, I don't understand. And God, I don't even know what in the world I'm in here for. I don't think he even repeated any of that, amen. But I said, I know one thing, that I got God inside of me, and I command that body in the name of Jesus Christ to rise up. Then, you know, nothing happened. Guess what happened? The body rose up. And all them people start shouting and crying, and they all but one got saved. But I say that to say this. I'm going, what in the world is going on here? It scared me to death. I ain't going to lie to you. It scared me to death. But that's when I begin to understand there's power in what I say. There's power when I believe that God can. And they made fun of me, and they did all this stuff. And when I get to this point, all of a sudden what happened, it was a crusade, healing crusade. I said, what the heck's a healing crusade? So the other village had lured me out and tried to kill me and tried to wipe me out and didn't want to, and we was at war with each other. All of a sudden, they send the mayor's, his entourage to get me and the people that was with me, and Karina was with me this time. So we roll in there, and what happens? We roll in there, and I said, they're going to kill us, man. And so we roll in there, and we's praying. And all of a sudden, we got to pray for the mayor's wife, and we watched her at a revival that she wasn't supposed to be at. She'd already gotten saved at one of the messages that I preached. And she was healed, and today she's still healed. See, it's not about you. It's about the power of a living God that lives inside of you. And if you'll just walk forward, if you'll begin to allow him to show up and to show out, all of a sudden you begin to see what he wants to do. He'll open those eyes. He'll bring things out that'll blow you away. Listen, I got something here on self-esteem. The only way to speak to self-esteem is with the Word of God. When you quit looking at yourself and begin to open yourself up and begin to look at God, all of a sudden God will change who you think you are, amen. If you have a self-esteem issue today, it's time for you to quit thinking you something you ain't, amen. When you begin to look, I could go through and tell you that you're somebody in Christ, and I'm telling you what happens is the devil will lie to you from generation day to day, and they'll talk about it, the way you look, the way you weigh, what you weigh, how tall or how short or how this. I want to tell you something. Once you grasp who you are in Jesus Christ, you better watch how you have low self-esteem. You're somebody in Christ. Can you give him a hand clap of praise? Perhaps pray over your mouth to break some old addictions, some old habits. Begin to understand that the eyes are the porthole, the ears, they begin to listen. And all of a sudden, you take that mouth that used to curse God, the mouth that used to disrespect God, and you allow God to begin to use you. Allow him to say to use you and be able to say, I said in the name of Jesus, you're healed, amen. And then all of a sudden, when you don't believe, he'll make you a believer. And then we got the heart. And we already know the heart's deceitful, beyond cure. Who in the world can understand it? Destructive relationships, wounds, offenses is taking place. We need to pray for healing. The hands. Remember the hands in the mummy. They're bound up along the side. They can't move. How about coming up and unbinding somebody's hands that's been bound up for years? The feet. Perhaps Lazarus's feet. You got to get up beside them. So someone who's mummified or lost, and you begin to unwrap their feet so they can begin to walk. Pray that every step they take is anointed. Pray for every step that they do is a blessed step. He will make straight the crooked places before you. This is the way. Walk in it wherever you turn. To the right of the hand, it says this. It says, the Lord says this. It's not by might, nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. The eyes of the blind shall be opened. The eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall hear. The lame, they shall leap like deer. And the tongue of the dumb shall sing. Amen. So when we begin to bind something up, begin to know that God is up to something. And Jesus said this, I am the resurrection. He who believes in me, listen, though he may die, he shall live and live forever. So it doesn't matter what the enemy says. Let's get a hold of this morning. I'm closing now. But I want you to get a hold of this and wrap this up. I have the power. I have the power. What's it say? I have the power that Jesus had. He said, I endued you with power. He said, you'll do greater things. Listen, if you guys start believing that, this town better watch out. Listen, this town better watch out. Because I was standing at Kroger's yesterday, and our county prosecutor, Mr. Wilson, he could not wait to chase me and Beth Ann and Lauren, whoever's with us. He chased us down. He said, wait a minute. And he came running with his wife, Dr. Libby Wilson, and he brought her over, and he says, I want you to meet this guy. And I said, wait a minute, let me introduce you to these guys. And he said, oh, I knew you was going to do that. And I said, but listen, man, they somebody, and they believe it. And all of a sudden, you could see them beaming. And all of a sudden, we went through line, and one of the cashiers walked out from behind there, and they came over, and he started talking to me. And I said, okay, brother, that's good. Now get back in line. You got customers waiting. And all of a sudden, Andy said, I knew it was you holding up a line. I knew it was you. See, we got something to say. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? I have the power that Jesus has through his blood that was shed, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. It resides in you and me, amen? The same power. Everybody say the same power. Amen. What matters is what the Holy Spirit can do in us and through us. The question is, how much will we allow him to do? Well, we just come in and already we're looking at our watch and, hey, that pastor knows I got to go to lunch at 12:15. What's wrong with him? I'm not going to get nothing today because he went way too long. The Christian work is not to be done in the power of the natural, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, saith the Lord. Amen? So all of a sudden, what we begin to learn is that a lot of times we walk by the flesh and not by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit eagerly desires to do his work in each of us. As I pondered these scriptures, I wondered why it was that Lazarus didn't call out on Jesus himself, didn't you? I wonder why he didn't. Maybe we should have wondered these. Why wasn't Mary and Martha sent for Jesus, and they exercised their faith and knew he would raise him from the dead? Amen? Now, there are certain times throughout our Christian walk that we just can't seem to pray for our own situation. And have you ever been there, or are you there today? Don't feel like you've got enough faith to believe, even enough to pray for yourself. Maybe this was Lazarus' state, and the truth is, it's okay. It's okay when we're at this point. That's when others gather around. You everybody say body ministry. Body ministry. So as we begin to pray those 21 days for your lost loved ones, for your family that we might be wrong, but we think are not on fire for Christ, it's okay if we're wrong, right? We're just going to give them more blessing, amen? But as we begin to intercede and pray, that's when others gather around you and intercede, stand in the gap, and believe for your situation even when you can't. Did anybody do that so you could come to salvation? Happened for me. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is absolutely, positively, never, ever, never not in vain. Amen? It's not in vain. Never give up. Continue steadfast by faith and abound in service to God. Know that nothing done in Jesus' name will ever be done in vain. We are each strategically positioned with the body. Each of us has our own unique ministry, functioning in unity, unraveling and unmasking the God-given potential that he's given to each one of us so he can use us to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. No matter how deep or how infuriated the war becomes, God has ordained each one of us, and we must go forward without distractions. I encourage you today, as you hear his voice, his call to come forth, that you would arise and begin to function in your calling, not someone else's calling, not someone else's ministry, that you would begin to come forth. And as you begin to come forth, what will begin to happen is he'll begin to wrap some grave clothes off of you. He'll begin to unravel you. You'll begin to understand that stronger is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And as he begins to deal with you individually and begins to rip it off, it doesn't matter what's been bound up. It could be your mind. It could be your hands or your feet. It could be your stinking thinking. No matter what it is, he says, I'm going to tear it off. I'm going to rip it open. And what I ordain, nobody can stop. And when I begin to call you, I want you just to begin to step through as I begin to take the grave clothes off of you. And as a body of believers, when I send you one who's sick in body, I expect you to stand up and not begin to judge, but love your neighbors. Amen. And I want you to begin to be part of the body of Christ, and I want you to rip the grave clothes off of them. I don't want you to bind them up no more. I want them to come freely, and if you'll allow me to flow through you, I'll flow them to you. We got to begin to tell the devil, put him on notice. When you begin to speak to the sick, they are healed, and they will recover in the name of Jesus. When you say blind eyes will open, they will open in the name of Jesus, and what you say is what you have. Give God a hand clap of praise today in the house. As the praise and worship team makes their way up, don't let them distract you as you stand all over the house. I want you to listen. I want you to listen very intently what God is saying to you individually. Can you hear me? As you stand all over the house and the praise and worship team makes their way up, I sense that the Lord is saying it like this to you and I this morning. This is what I sense in my spirit. This is an hour I would cry unto you with a loud voice. Come forth! Come forth! It doesn't matter what you've struggled with. It doesn't matter that the enemy will say that your sin is so deep and so enthroned and so enriched that you can't get rid of it. It doesn't matter that it was a generational curse 3 and 4 and 5 generations back. I don't care what the enemy says. God has the final say-so. So no matter what is going on and what's in your ear today, no matter how you look at yourself, and you might look at yourself with low self-esteem, when you begin to see yourself as a child of the Most High, when all of a sudden you'll walk in faith and you'll begin to understand, he wants you to come forth. He said, I will set those around you, says your God, that will assist you in the unwrapping of your grave clothes. I'll begin to bring leaders into church. You'll say, why did I go to that little old church? And as a friend said the other day, you got something that's unique. It's an opportunity to listen to the word of God and then to respond to it. Listen, that shouldn't be unique. It should be like that in every church, every Sunday, that you have a chance to respond. I'm so doing you. Listen, we begin to understand that indeed a time of preparation, a time of release is beginning to happen, a time of stripping away has happened. Those things that have bound you and hindered your walk, I'm going to break the shackles off of you, he says this morning. I'm about to set that generational curse. I don't care if you've had it for 40, 50, 60 years or 2 years or 2 days. It's time that he breaks the shackles off of you this morning. I will cause you to rise and take back your destiny. I will cause you to arise and take back your destiny, to step forth in the high calling of God. Do you see it on the board today? And can you feel it in your spirit this morning? I will cause you to arise and take back what the enemy has stolen. No matter what he said, no matter who he's lied to, as we open up the altar this morning and we begin to come as they praise and worship, the Lord says, look at me. I'm going to cause you to rise up against all circumstances. I'm going to cause you to rise up over all the things that the enemy's tried to come against you. The Lord says, it depends on your choices. It depends on your choices. I'm going to loose signs. I'm going to loose wonders and miracles in your midst that I may establish my kingdom for my purpose, and I'm going to use my people, which is you today. If it says at the end, I want to refer back to the scripture, for I am that I am, the resurrection and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through the Son. And so today, as they begin to sing, we're going to open this altar up. There's some grave clothes that need to be taken off, and the church family, the body, is here to help you today. Won't you come forward as you see fit?